produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Monday, February 18th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Welcome back to The Stash. We're glad to have you here listening, and we also want to make you aware of the updates that we've made to our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. The comments section is up and running, so if you've got any requests for music, any stories or information you need to pass along to us here at the Daily Audio Stash, you can leave that information now in the comments section of the blog posts. We'll have posts on all of our news stories and all of our music, as well as posts that didn't make it to the podcast. So if you've got your opinion and you want to make it known, just get into our comments section and let us know. Some of the best comments will be read here on the air. Also, we want to let you know that you can always email us here at The Stash. The Stash email is stash@normal.org. Now, Monday is Political Activism Day here on the podcast, and coming up after the news, we've got our Reformers calendar, so you can prepare for the important cannabis community events that are coming up this week. We also speak with Matt Simon, the Executive Director of the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy at nhcommonsense.org, regarding the legislation that may make the Granite State our 13th state to decriminalize personal possession. Next, we welcome the debut of DJ Podsafe here on The Stash, my good friend Cannabis Carrie, who's picked out an excellent ganja groove from Haya Sika with his song, Gimme My Hemp Paper. Ah, that's something we can get behind, hemp paper. And speaking of hemp paper, today is President's Day, so we take a look at the history of our U.S. presidents and their use of cannabis hemp with Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of Normal. So sit back, get your favorite strain, and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Internists tell feds to lighten up on marijuana, from the Wall Street Journal's health blog. The American College of Physicians, 124,000 members strong, has issued a 13-page position paper asking the federal government to drop marijuana from its classification as a substance considered to have no medicinal value and a high chance of abuse, reports the Baltimore Sun. They've said essentially that the federal government has it all wrong, Bruce Merkin, spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project, tells the health blog. The ACP, which represents internists, is the largest physician group to date to ask for such a classification change, he says. The Sun reports that the ACP's declaration could pressure legislators and regulators to consider pushing for the schedule change. The federal government thus far has resisted fully exploring the medical benefits of marijuana, but a dozen states have legalized medical use. The ACP paper makes a broad case for easing restrictions on marijuana research and says that doctors and patients in these states shouldn't be penalized under federal law. But at least some in the government disagree vehemently with the idea of legalizing medical marijuana. What this would do is drag us back to 14th century medicine, said Beth Madras, the deputy director for demand reduction at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. It's so arcane. Well, somebody needs to tell Ms. Madras that marijuana is medicine, no matter which century you're talking about. Healers throughout time have recognized marijuana's medicinal properties. Prior to the 1937 prohibition of the herb, cannabis was a major ingredient in most medicinal remedies available over the counter. Queen Victoria's doctors gave her marijuana for menstrual cramps. There are references to medical use of cannabis in nearly every ancient civilization. All we're trying to do is undo the 70 years of prohibition that has led to ignoring 5,000 years of medical use. We're trying to bring our government into the 21st century, where scientists and doctors know the plain truth, that marijuana is medicine. New Hampshire debates marijuana decriminalization. Ex-Salem police officer and Kingston rep back the bill. From Windham, New Hampshire. Retired Salem police officer John Tomasi is among a handful of police officers who believe the criminal penalties for marijuana possession are too severe. Tomasi, a Windham resident, is testifying in support of a New Hampshire bill to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana. If passed, people caught with a quarter ounce of pot would receive a ticket and a maximum $200 fine. Attempts to legalize marijuana have failed in the past, but last week a House subcommittee passed this bill 3-1 with some amendments. The measure still has a long way to go before it becomes law, and David Welch, a Republican from Kingston, predicts this new attempt to reform marijuana laws will also go up in smoke. Yet he was one of the three who voted for the bill. Welch wants lawmakers to debate the issue and said if the bill has a chance of passage, it would make for a livelier discussion. We haven't had this debate in a long time, Welch said. Tomasi, who now teaches economics at Bentley College, sees the problem from both an economic and law enforcement perspective. Legalization would not end the nation's drug problem, but it would stop the violence, he said. Last year, 1.8 million people were charged with drug crimes, Tomasi said. You would like to think that most of them were major drug dealers, he said, but most were charged with marijuana possession. Tomasi said drug dealers fear the legalization of drugs, which would dry up their profits and put them out of business. He draws a parallel between the current situation and the crime during prohibition. The original version of the bill would have decriminalized possession of up to 1 1/4 ounces of marijuana. That's now a felony. The amended bill now brings the limit down to 1/4 ounce of marijuana. It may seem counterintuitive to some people, but police officers are often on our side when it comes to reducing the penalties for personal marijuana possession. They're the ones on the front lines of the drug war who see firsthand that prohibition is a costly failure. They'd much rather be busting people for real crimes, but the laws require them to harass and arrest people who use marijuana. Many fine activists are working hard to free up our police resources for serious crime fighting by eliminating the laws against marijuana possession. Be sure to stay tuned for our interview coming up here in a minute with Matt Simon from the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. We spoke to him regarding this bill and its chances of passing in New Hampshire. Terminally ill Montana man busted for medical marijuana. From Dillon, Montana. The large-scale marijuana bust that law officers here touted as a major success this month was instead the persecution of a terminally ill man who needed the herb to help ease his suffering, a pro-medical marijuana group said on Friday. Parents and Families United, based in Helena, blasted the bust and said it would not stand up in court, thanks to Montana's medical marijuana law passed 3 years ago. And they criticized law officers for making a terminally ill man's last days miserable because of the worry that he would end up in prison. It amounts to persecution of somebody who's already so overburdened with a medical condition that no one should have, said Tom Dober, founder and director of the PFU. That's the purpose of our law, to have some relief for somebody who just wants to be left alone. Dober said his group will step up to help with the legal defense for the man, whose name has not been released by officials. Law officers from Beaverhead County and the Southwest Montana Drug Force last week were trumpeting the seizure of 96 marijuana plants from a mobile home north of Dillon. They said the sophisticated growing operation was meant to keep a steady supply of marijuana coming, with plants at all stages of development. Dober said if taken into custody, Beaverhead County taxpayers will be on the hook for medical care that costs a staggering $136,000 a month for injections to keep the man alive. Beaverhead County can have some fun with this, pay to keep a guy alive for a trial that probably won't happen quickly, he said. Dober promised a vigorous legal defense of the man. He said that although the quantity of marijuana seized far exceeds the limits allowed under state law, they will use an affirmative defense to prove that he needed the quantity for his medical needs. The man is not a registered medical marijuana user, Dober said, but his medical records will provide more than enough evidence that he has a qualifying condition and he needs the herb to help ease his suffering in the final months of life. Now, you'd think it would be obvious to law enforcement the difference between an entrepreneur trying to grow marijuana for sale on the black market versus a terminally ill patient growing his own medicine to alleviate suffering. But unfortunately, the dichotomy of legal for the sick, criminal for the healthy, forces lawmakers to create possession limits in order to help law enforcement determine who's medical and who's not. Too often, we find patients with severe need for whom 6 plants, Montana's limit, up to 24 plants, Oregon's limit, is not enough to guarantee a steady supply of medicine. Only when marijuana is re-legalized for all, sick and healthy, will patients finally get the unimpeded access to medicine that they deserve.
Hello, this is Tim Pate, and you are listening to Radical Russ on Normal's Daily Audio Stack.
The number one thing you can do to end cannabis prohibition for responsible adults is to get involved with the activists and organizations in your local area. Get your date book ready to jot down these important events on our Normal Daily Audio Stash's Reformers Calendar. All right, let's take a look at what's happening this week on the Reformers Calendar, and we get some events here from the west coast of the North American continent. We'll start with Wednesday, February 20th, 2008, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What do we tell the kids? A free presentation from 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. at the UBC Robson Square Theater, 800 Robson Street, Vancouver, B.C. In communities across Canada, discussions are going on, public and private, about how to deal effectively with the growing problem of illicit drug use. Decisions are being made about how to educate our young people and how to allocate public money. Vancouver has been at the center of the drug debate since 1995. It has led the way in taking public action, researching the effect of different strategies, and considering current community attitudes. At this time of escalating concern about drug and alcohol problems and drug-related crime, this series looks at a wide spectrum of perspectives and research, often conflicting, to consider what information is useful in guiding us as parents, co-workers, and citizens. Presenters include Dr. Rick Mathias, UBC Professor of Healthcare and Epidemiology with expertise on toxicity of drugs on the body. Sergeant Bob Hall from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, responsible for drug prevention initiatives for the RCMP in British Columbia. And Dan Reist, Director for Communications and Resource Center, Center for Addictions Research. Please call 604-822-1444 to pre-register for this free session. And Saturday, February 23rd, 2008, in Portland, Oregon, Oregon Normal's OMMP 101 meeting, a members-only meeting for registered Oregon medical marijuana patients from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mount Tabor Legacy Theater, Southeast 49th and Hawthorne, in Portland, Oregon. All registered patients are invited to the OMMP 101 meeting to learn the intricacies of the medical marijuana law. Expert growers will be on hand with live plants to give demonstrations on how to properly take a new cutting off of a plant. Growers will also answer questions from patients on how to get started growing your own medicine. tips and tricks to deal with the problems of indoor gardening, and the best ways to build your indoor garden. You can also help with Oregon Normal's letter-writing campaigns to defend medical marijuana from forthcoming initiatives aimed at reducing patients' rights. For more information, see ornorml.org.
James Roquefort here from peopleradio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh, well, now on with the show.
Well, recently we've had many bills that have been moving forward in the measure of decriminalization of the personal possession of marijuana, and the New England states are definitely taking the lead in this year's election cycle. So we turn to Matt Simon, who's the executive director of the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. You can find out more about their organization at nhcommonsense.org or check out the Stash website. We'll have a link there up at the website. So, Matt, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks, Russ. Great to be on the program.
Well, what I've read here, and we went over the news last week, was about your House subcommittee that recommended to push forward with this bill. Tell our listeners about that that bill. What exactly would it do for New Hampshire?
Well, the bill's fairly simple. It reduces the penalty for possession of marijuana in small quantities from a Class A misdemeanor, which is currently punishable by up to a $2,000 fine or up to a year in jail, and reduce that down to a violation offense, which would carry a fine of $200. And the amount that we asked for in the original bill was 1.25 ounces. The one downside of what happened in the subcommittee Thursday was that they amended that amount downward to merely 0.25 ounces, one quarter ounce. And that's something that, you know, could change down the road, but for now, this is where our bill is. It's 0.25 ounces or less becomes a violation. The good news from the subcommittee, of course, is that we did get a 3-to-1 vote in favor, and the two of those votes were from a current police chief in the town of Dalton, New Hampshire, a Republican, and the other is from the Republican former chair of the Criminal Justice Committee. And both of them, you know, made statements, you know, positive statements to the media that we should be having this conversation as a state. So it was less than a ringing endorsement of everything that we asked for, but it's still a good bill, and we're still happy to be supporting and moving forward and getting good press.
Well, yes, anytime we can avoid getting arrested for these simple marijuana possession offenses, a lot of people don't realize all of the ancillary harms that come from the arrest. Even if you never serve a day in jail, one of your representatives, David Welch, had said that the young folks aren't always making intelligent choices and they could screw up their chances for a Pell Grant. And so that's always good to see. Now, how is the media up there in New Hampshire reacting to this bill? Is it getting a lot of play up there in the newspapers and the evening news?
We've gotten very good press, and all the major newspapers have at least done a fair job of reporting on this effort. And, you know, there haven't been any of the jokes or the snide comments so much that we've seen in previous years. This year it's all been, you know, We've definitely taken a step forward, and we see that we're getting respect from the media. They're reporting the issue as accurately as we can expect them to, and we've also gotten some positive press. The Nashua Telegraph, which Nashua is the second largest city in New Hampshire, it's a major paper, and they've endorsed the bill. They endorsed the effort in an editorial. So we've gotten a lot of very good media.
So this has then come out of the House subcommittee with a 3-to-1 vote. Where does the vote? Where does this go next? What happens? What hurdles are next to clear?
Well, they have it scheduled for this coming Tuesday to be in an executive session for the full Criminal Justice Committee. The subcommittee was 4 representatives of a full committee of 20 representatives. And that committee will meet Tuesday. I don't know if they'll get to our bill Tuesday. It's more likely they'll get to it Wednesday or Thursday. But sometime next week, there'll be a vote of that full committee. And that vote's going to be a very important vote. It determines how the bill will go to the floor of the House, and the bill will go to the floor in the House, and it will be discussed and debated and voted on there. But what the representatives on the floor of the House have to go on is these little blurbs that are written in the House calendar that everybody reads. They can't keep up with every piece of legislation, but they definitely look at these little blurbs, and the blurbs say what the committee vote was, and there's a little piece in favor and a little piece against, and a positive recommendation from the Criminal Justice Committee in New Hampshire, which has several members of law enforcement, current and former law enforcement, on it, like I mentioned, a police chief, and is not the kind of committee that's going to willy-nilly go rubber-stamping marijuana legislation. If we get a good recommendation from that committee next week, we're in really good shape going to the floor of the House.
Well, what can our listeners in the New Hampshire area do to help push us in the right direction? Is there, other than your website, is there any other legislators you're targeting or any letter-writing campaigns they can get involved with?
Absolutely, and there's plenty of information up on our website at nhcommonsense.org. We have a petition that people can sign, and that'll get you onto our email list. But there's definitely information on how to right now contact your legislators, all the contact information and guidelines on how to do that, suggested, you know, things to say and maybe what not to say. And also anybody who's able to come to the State House on Tuesday. I'm not sure what the exact time is, but that information is on the website. And anybody who comes, we have stickers for people to wear. Come and show your support and at least have them see some smiling faces as they're deliberating our bill.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone in the Granite State, we definitely encourage you to get involved with the people at nhcommonsense.org. Get politically motivated. You can make a difference in changing our country's marijuana laws, and we're going to do this one state at a time. And I'm calling you here from Oregon, so we're one of the decrim states already, and we're hoping that you get to join us very soon.
I hope so too, Russ. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. We've been talking with Matt Simon from the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy at nhcommonsense.org. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, I'm really excited to get the music started here for today's Audio Stash, because today marks the debut of my good friend Cannabis Carrie taking over the musical duties here. You know, I've got to be honest, as far as picking music for the Audio Stash, it's not probably the best job to have me doing. My musical tastes tend toward the rock and roll, the blues, and the hip-hop, R&B, rap, and to get a broader perspective, I thought I'd bring in Carrie. She works up as a DJ up in Coast Community Radio at KMUN up in Astoria, Oregon, so she gets a good, eclectic, broad mix of music passing by her ears much more often than mine own. So I hope you like the choices that she comes up with here for the Daily Audio Stash. Now, today's music hit comes from us from a righteous Rasta man named Haya Sika. And I'm not trying to do an accent there. He spells it H-I-G-H-A-H-S-E-E-K-A-H. So Haya Sika. He's the real Jamaican deal, growing up in Westmoreland, Jamaica, a town that also produced Peter Tosh. You can groove along with this rootsy reggae sound featuring horns and some great rap-style rhythms. This track comes from his latest album, Journalism 101, the mixtape. And if you groove to reggae, make sure you add Haya Sika to your music stash. For more information on this artist, you can find him here at music.podshow.com. This is Haya Sika with his song, Gimme My Hemp Paper.
Peter, Peter. just give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff, I light it up, I smell the paper. Give me my hemp paper. You're the empress and you're the emperor. Celestia, give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff and I put on a piece for later. Give me my hemp paper. I keep it natural, it's much safer. Feature. Westmoreland, Jamaica's where you get the highest grade of Calibuts. Your song, the one you're loud up in the radios and the clubs. Man, burn Babylon, them make and I distribute them drugs. From Jamaica to New York, the streets hit the floods. No disrespect, but I no bun, no backwood and no bills. It's a hemp paper spliff after breakfast in a lunch. I give from the most high creator above. So I no need no authority from no gov. Just give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff, I light it up, I smell the paper. Yeah, yeah. Give me my hemp paper. Heal the empress and heal the emperor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff and I put on a piece for later. Feature. Give me my hemp paper. Keep it natural, it's much safer. It's no mystery, it's no secret. We should do fight to serve, there's no need in it. No, no, so let us love that, so we keeping it. Before you burn the earth, make sure no seeds in it. No leaves in it, farmer man breeding it. Hey listen, young and Westmoreland feeling it. It smells as sweet as like them drop orange peeling it. Some people make tea with it, some people steam in it. Give me my hemp paper. Roll a spliff, I'll be lit up and smell the vapor. Give me my hemp paper. Heal the empress and heal the emperor. Feature. Give me my hemp paper. Got some gun, Tasha. Save it for later. Yeah, yeah. Give me my hemp paper. I'd rather things natural, cause it's much safer. Feature. That's why from Jamaica to Africa to Miami to New York to Cali, everybody. It's the healing of the nation, actually. Give from the most life, actually. A plant, naturally. No. Yo. And then I fall it up and I roll it up in a cement with love. Them can't stop it. Watch it, they listen, yeah. America, them we need some help, senator. Jamaica wants a prime minister. Big up all hustler, smuggler and juggler. Big up all spot shop and time bubbler. Burn out them coke and crack. This ain't Colombia. Feature, feature. Give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff and light it up and smell the vapor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me my hemp paper. Hear the empress and hear the emperor. Give me my hemp paper. Build up a spliff. Put on a piece for later. Yeah, yeah, yo. Give me my hemp paper. Hey, keep it natural. Much, much safer. I make them know say Westmoreland is where you get the highest grade of Calibuts. You pump the one that loud up in the venues and the clubs. And burn Babylon, them make and distribute them drugs. From Jamaica to Miami, the streets hit the floods. No this to no one, but I no bun, no backwood and no blunts. It's a hemp paper spliff after breakfast, dinner, lunch. I give from the most high creator above. So I don't need no authority from no government. Give me my hemp paper.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Well, it's Monday here on the Stash, and of course, it's a holiday for a lot of people. It's President's Day, when we celebrate the founding of our country and the history of our presidents, specifically Jefferson and Washington and Lincoln and all of those who've made this the great country that it is. And I'm joined now by the executive director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Alan St. Pierre, who has a little bit of knowledge on the subject. Alan, welcome back to the Stash.
Good day, Russ.
Lately in presidential politics, there's been some news with regard to marijuana. Of course, back in the 90s, we had President Clinton saying he didn't inhale. And now in the 2000s, we have contender Barack Obama saying he inhaled. That was the point. So there's been a lot of cannabis in the political realm, especially with regard to our presidents. But let's go back to the colonial times and just let our listeners know a little bit about the history of cannabis with regard to our early founding fathers.
Sure. Well, cannabis is as old as our society in the United States. In many ways, our early economy was founded on hemp. Jefferson himself said that the first order of economy was not tobacco, but was hemp. And he was a terrific hemp farmer, along with Washington and Madison and a number of other contemporaries, Monroe as well. And so all of them grew hemp, the non-psychoactive strain of cannabis, for industrial purposes. The clothes they wore, the ropeage, the oils from the seeds. There were many, many utilitarian uses of hemp then and, of course, today. And there is increasing body of knowledge that is emerging about the use of marijuana as most of us know it to be, that Washington and Monroe and Jefferson likely used marijuana, and there are references as such in their diary. One of the most blatant ones is in Washington's early diaries about separating the male and female plants, and that is done certainly with wanting to increase the potency and to have a plant that is not going to yield rope or other type of low potency material, that it was likely going to be used for either a smoke material or a tincture, which is the leaf material sunk in alcohol. So there's more and more evidence. In fact, one of the things I would love to do, and I've actually for now, I guess it's been 6 years, been putting in a request down at the George Washington Museum outside of Washington, D.C., down at Mount Vernon, is to do the same thing that happened with William Shakespeare's pipe, oh, I guess 10 years ago, when a number of us had agitated to do some swabs to find out forensically what was smoked in these pipes. It only takes a small dab from a Q-tip to figure out what were the chemicals used in that pipe. And so with the swiping of Shakespeare's pipe, it was discovered that cannabis was used in his pipes. And we would like to find the same from Washington's pipes. There are 8 or 9 clay pipes. And we could answer that question quite readily, Russ.
It'd be quite a thrilling irony to find that out, that, you know, when we talk about the founding of our country, at that time was a pretty radical notion, the idea that a people could govern themselves and didn't need the divine providence of a king or some sort of monarchy. It might lead those folks back in the 1700s to say, gosh, what are those colonials smoking?
Well, the independent-mindedness of them and their ability to relate to higher beings, but not necessarily in a overtly ideological way, the tolerance, the enlightenment, as we now call it many hundreds of years later, I would like to think a lot of this could be appropriated to cannabis use. It is it's amazing our history with presidents and cannabis. There were some later presidents who used cannabis mainly as a medicine. In the 1850s through the 1870s, cannabis was a major and well-distributed pharmaceutical in many different forms, whether it was a tincture, as I described earlier. It could have been in the form of a topical solution. In some cases, it was came in sort of a powder bullet form where you would rub it right onto your skin. You could take eye drops. So these products were marketed by Parke Davis and many others, and so some of the Civil War generals who were wounded and prior generals like Jackson and Zachary Taylor and Franklin Pierce all were people who used tinctures or other cannabis-related products in the mid-1800s.
Wow, that's just amazing, you know, when we look back at our history. And I always like to say when I'm giving my stump speeches at the various events that we have, that America's roots are hemp roots, and that we've had our American heritage stolen from us by the prohibitionists of the early 20th century.
Well, certainly almost none of us growing up would really know much about this, I think, frankly, if it wasn't for Jack Herrera, most notably. I'm 42 years old, so I grew up before Jack's book had really come out and became an underground bestseller and helped really bring awareness to this country's connectivity to hemp. For our listeners, you could pay your federal and state taxes until 1875 in this country with hemp. Rather than pay money, you could give bales of hemp. It was that valuable to commerce.
I can. I think I would really enjoy being able to pay my taxes in hemp. I think that would be a lot of fun. But that's great. And for the listeners who may not be aware, who are new to the stash or new to the movement, you definitely need to pick up Jack Herrera's book, "The Emperor Wears No Clothes." I think it's in its 11th or 12th printing now. Mm-hmm. It is the cannabis hemp. It is the encyclopedia of our history and the uses of cannabis hemp in America.
It is indeed. In fact, some of our first flags were made of it here in Washington, D.C. When you walk up and put your nose up against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that is a paper product that is made of hemp.
Yep. Well, it's a happy President's Day to you, Alan, and to all of our listeners out there. We thank you for joining us here on The Stash with a little bit of historical background for our President's Day.
Well, let's hope these presidents get real on this issue and legalize tax control and get away from this absurd failed prohibition policy.
You said it. Thank you very much. Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Thanks for joining us here on The Stash.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Russ. Happy President's Day to you.
Happy President's Day to everyone. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our policy analyst is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from former President Richard Nixon, who once said, quote, "Soft-headed psychiatrists who work in places like the National Institute for Mental Health favor marijuana because they're probably all on the stuff themselves," end quote. 37 years later, Nixon's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs rages on. With your continued support, we will undo the damage Nixon wrought upon our American hemp heritage.